At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, Morgan Reagan, it wasn't that long ago. The Kings lost a home game to the Pistons, and we were so down, 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 down. The next day, we wake up even more down, thinking about the aftermath and then finding out Mike Brown had been fired. The Kings were 13-18. Holy shit, this is a low point.
Holy shit.
How fast times change in this league. The Sacramento Kings tonight down 17 to the Miami Heat, a desperate Miami Heat team that just lost by 36 points at home to the Utah Jazz. Jimmy Butler suspended 7 games, but you know they were going to fight and claw, and they played tough. They played physical, and they got it going in the third quarter. That matchup zone flummoxed the Sacramento Kings, and then that carried into the fourth quarter. Kings playing without De'Aaron Fox. It looked like the shooting wasn't there, that the Kings were just going to fall apart, and that streak would end. No. Down 17 with 7:53 to go in the game. The Kings were able to force overtime thanks in large part to contributions across the board. Keon Ellis was an absolute menace, a dog. Big time threes to keep the Kings within striking distance. How about Keegan Murray with some critical offensive rebounds, 3 of them in the fourth quarter? And Domantas Sabonis with a huge 3 in this stretch of the game. The Kings were able to go to overtime. They had their chances. Had to go to a double overtime. And then Debo said, it's my time. Get on my back and let's go. DeMar DeRozan, 9 points in the double overtime session. And the Sacramento Kings win their 5th straight game. They're 18-19 after a 123-118 come-from-behind victory over the Miami Heat at Golden 1 Center next up Friday against Boston. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing?
Oh, I'm so glad. Hi, I am good. Just waiting to chime in on this wonderful evening for the Sacramento Kings because there's so much to talk about.
Dude, what a game and what an ending, Morgan.
Good. Sabonis!
I messed it up.
Wait, now start again?
I have to. It's so annoying. It's the way it was set up in here.
What the hell?
I was going to cue that up so perfect.
What a game, dude. And what a moment. So you did like...
What a game. What a moment.
Monk still with the ball in his hands. Drives it. Plants. Spins. Fall away.
You know what's so great? Is that we don't edit this later anyway. So it is kind of funny that everyone will get this.
Watch this.
Okay.
What a game, what a moment late.
Monk still with the ball in his hands, drives it, plants, spins, fall away, off the iron, no good. Sabonis, offensive rebound, out to DeRozan. Difference between the clocks is 11 seconds. We're down to 18 on the game clock, 6 on the shot clock. DeRozan, up fake, nobody bites, launches for 2. He scores the deuce, a 30-point outing for DeMar DeRozan, and the Kings now have a 2-possession lead at 123-118 with 12.7 seconds to go.
G-man. Wow. G-man on that call as well. But the moment, the shot making ability by Debo late in tonight's game. It was so fun to witness, to watch.
Morgan, it may sound corny to some.
Oh, where are you gonna go?
Belief is a powerful thing.
Oh, that's not cool. I mean,
having
facts.
The belief in your abilities, having the belief that you can go out there and execute even when times are tough. This Sacramento Kings team at this moment, winners of five in a row, has a belief. They fought their asses off tonight. This was a game where they were missing shots. Miami completely took them out of their game tonight. They played great defense. But the Kings did not back down.
Second night of a back-to-back. And you and I, it was funny, you and I sometimes will text throughout an entire game. Just so many different emotions, so many different things. And tonight, it was more just like a few things here and there. And the few things were, holy shit, Miami is just battling. They are grinding. They are making life so much more difficult for the Kings. Like I said, by the way, like I said when we were previewing this game last night, that they would. I said Eric Spoelstra will be able to bring them together. They will have the night off. All the different things. I expected this type of play from them. And then when they started taking off in the fourth quarter, it's not that I was expecting that from them, but at the same time, I wasn't surprised. And I was like, okay, Kings world, we're getting humbled finally. Like, here we go, back down to earth. But truly, the way that the Kings like matched with their tone, with their confidence, with their belief in that they could get something done, it was out there on the floor all night. And it was just such an incredible game because both teams were giving you that.
In a game like this, it's hard to just pick out just one moment. And to me,
really hard.
I think the thing that jumped out to me most tonight was Keon Ellis. You know, what a journey it's been for Keon Ellis.
Yeah. Right?
Undrafted guy, spends his first year pretty much in the G League in Stockton. Last year, that deal that was a two-way deal turns into a guaranteed deal. And down the stretch, especially when, you know, Monk went down and Herter went down, the Kings played him a lot. And you saw the flashes of what could be a really good defensive player and then also a guy who can hit the three. And then this year, it was like, oh, wait, he's not really a part of it. Like, he's a starter. He's not playing. His minutes are all over the place. And we were on here all the time going, you have to find a way to play this guy. And a huge credit to Doug Christie for going, we are playing you. Why? Because we believe in your abilities to go make shit happen on the defensive end. And then we're going to give you the belief to go out there and don't hesitate. When you have a three, go make something happen.
You're capable.
Keon Ellis in that fourth quarter, the Kings are down 17. He hit back-to-back threes. There was no hesitation. He let it rip. And one of them was like contested. It was a good shot though. He shot it with confidence. Keon Ellis kept the Kings alive with this play. The shot making defensively was an absolute menace tonight. He had three steals. I can't wait to see how many deflections he had. He was all over the place. I was just so proud of Keon Ellis, who played 48 minutes in this game.
Three steals, one block, but you think about not only the deflections, but the amount of times that he disrupted a play. And the activity from him alone as an individual tonight was incredible. It was energizing. It was inspiring. Like, give me every optimistic description, and we can give that to Keon tonight. And what that translated to on the floor, though, was winning basketball and a style of basketball that I truly do feel like everyone was vibing off of, because this team was on a second night of a back-to-back after, just being in San Francisco last night, but it doesn't matter. You played an NBA game, you crushed the Warriors, and then you're back on your home floor the next night without De'Aaron Fox once again. What are you going to look like? It's almost takes the, like, I'm like speechless because of what we're witnessing right now with the Kings. It's bizarre. And it makes me wonder all the different things, because you gave all the credit, or you gave so much credit to Doug Christie when we were starting this podcast. And I'm just sitting here like, yeah, Like you have to. You have to think about whatever he did, whatever words he's using, whatever strategy he's using as a coach, as someone who cares, as a leader. It's working. It is working. You have a big enough sample size now. It is working.
Belief isn't just saying, hey, I believe in you. It's doing it with your actions too. It's, hey, Keon, you just had a turnover. You're not coming out of this game.
Yeah.
You're playing.
Yeah.
And you're going to go make a play late in this game. Keon had so many plays in the first half. I mean, there was one where I think they blitzed a Hero early in the game and he just ripped the ball away from Tyler Hero.
Yes.
It was fantastic defense. And then, you know, even late stages of this game, he's coming over late shot clock to dig at Bam. And it forced a tough look for Miami. He was doing all the little things, just flying everywhere. And I just thought that was so valuable. And then you talk about his shot making. In addition to this, Morgan, how about the end of, which one was this? Because, it was the end of overtime where Keon Ellis, late game situations, got the ball in his hands. He draws a foul. And I was stunned by it.
The long two with Bam running out. Yeah.
And he was able to draw a foul. Now, you know, missed one free throw, but that free throw tied the game. And then we had the double overtime. He was fantastic in this game.
He talked to the broadcast after about the missed free throw. And he's like, I didn't care about it. I wasn't down about it. It was move on next. Yeah. Like there was nothing. It was such a veteran mindset of the way he looked at his missed free throw. Probably one of the biggest free throws in this game that, they instead of tying it, they could have possibly just won it right there instead of going into the double OT. But it didn't matter. I mean, that wasn't the only reason why they were going into double OT. There was other things happening out there. In the confidence, in the switch, in the mindset, in all of his teammates having his back, not giving him shit for missing a free throw. It's all the things together that is leading this team in their togetherness to success.
Not looking over your shoulder if you make a mistake.
Yes.
You could keep playing, right? Because you do more good things than bad.
Wild. It's a wild concept.
But Keon Ellis, dude, 17 points for him. He had 8 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists, 6 of 11 shooting, and 3 of 7 from downtown. And if I'm not mistaken, I think all 3 of those threes were in the fourth quarter.
Damn.
Kept him alive, dude. Just absolutely kept him alive and then brought it to another level. In a big time spot, a close game, a young player showing that he can hang in critical moments.
Yes. Yeah, all those things. You know why I think it's so stunning to watch? One, because De'Aaron Fox is out of the game. So you are obviously seeing more minutes for Keon Ellis, hoping that he can still have these minutes. Some of these minutes when De'Aaron's back, right? Like you look at
he's going to be part of the rotation.
He has to be. I mean, in a huge way though, he's so impactful in so many different ways, but you look at what was happening before and under Mike Brown. And you just think about the opportunities that he wasn't getting. And we don't know how Mike Brown talk to him as a player, you know, like, it was obvious that at times it was like discipline of why he was going to the bench. If he did something wrong, you know, that was Mike Brown's like strategy or coaching, technique, whatever. But you're seeing how some people really just need to be coached differently and really need, it's situational when you have the proper opportunities at hand and you can show what you can do in those minutes with the ball in your hand, especially in big moments. Mind-blowing what Keon Ellis was doing all night.
One other guy I want to shout out defensively, another one of the young guys, Keegan Murray, second game back, coming back from injury. Keegan Murray's defense on Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero was killing the Kings in the first half. I think he had 17 at the half.
He did.
He finished this game with 26 points total. He had 9 points. We're talking about the second half plus the extra 10 minutes played, right? So the last 34 minutes of the game, he had 9 points. Keegan Murray's defense was outstanding. I thought the Kings' defense as a whole, like they had just brilliant moments of help, throwing double teams at the right time. The help was there, the recovery. they look like they were rotating so well defensively.
The amount of times that they had to recover, and even Keegan Murray on that block on
Hawkes.
Yes, he had it on Hawkes. What a block.
That was so big.
It was such a recovery moment, and he just came over, blocked the shit out of it. Great, great defensive play. But all the on-ball plays from Keegan Murray were also fantastic. He obviously just takes up so much room. He sits down in a chair. He takes up so much room. He has his arms up. But then you're talking about the defense as a team. I loved the hedge that they were throwing so many different times. Like, instead of a full-blown blitz onto whoever had the ball, it was, let's say it was, you know, Bam coming up, Sabonis has him, and Sabonis would hedge hard, but his ability to get back so no one could make that quick pass to Bam. Everyone always in the right place, having their arms up, talking it up.
The guy coming over to tag Bam sometimes and help.
Yeah, it was just so on point. And for it to be on point even late in this game when everyone is so tired, it was just the mental focus staying locked in on what they needed to do.
Mm. Tyler Hero had 21 points after three quarters. At the end of the fourth, he had 26. That's what he finished with. He did not score the final 10 minutes of the game.
After crushing it.
Yeah, and the Kings did a hell of a job preventing him from really getting any type of comfortable looks. He had to give the ball up. Other guys were having to make plays. And I thought the Kings did a really nice job on Bam. Shout out to Sabonis. Sabonis was tough. It wasn't easy for Sabonis early on in this game. Sabonis didn't have the most efficient game either. He was 7 of 16, but finished with a triple-double. 21 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists. He did have 6 turnovers. It was a struggle at times. They were collapsing physical, but I thought, guess what? He neutralized Bam.
Yeah.
Bam in this game ended up being 6 of 19. He had 18 points, 12 rebounds.
Jeez.
I'm bouncing around a little bit. I want to go back to Keegan, though, because I thought Keegan's defense was fantastic. He also finished with 14 points. He had 12 rebounds.
Loved it.
4 of 6 from downtown, so he's knocking down shots again from downtown. He had 5 offensive rebounds, 3 of which came in the fourth quarter. Dude, he's going after and getting the goddamn ball, and that's been a theme of his this year, but I love seeing that tonight.
One of his late offensive boards when he just flew in there and ripped it away, right? It was on the left baseline. And it was just one of those moments where I'm like, you can do that. You can do that like every time. You're big, you're athletic, you're young, you're strong. Like, jump on in there and get it. And you're just seeing the way that he is, I don't know, maybe understanding that more and more, and his ability to do that is exciting. But also, his confidence from beyond the arc, I think he had hit 2 of those to start the second half. And it was nice to see, because the Kings and both teams weren't really knocking down the 3 at a high clip, right? Like, everything wasn't falling right away. Started making more and more as the game kept going. But I just loved seeing Keegan knock a few of those down, especially early in the second half.
Before we continue, we need to acknowledge something.
Yeah.
This live crowd. Last night, we had the biggest live crowd of the season. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been surpassed tonight.
Give me a hell yeah.
Dude, shout out to you basketball sickos.
Sick.
You are sick.
Sickos.
It's almost Tuesday morning in Sacramento.
Oh,
it's like 3 a.m. in the East Coast.
Oh.
You guys are here with us. We appreciate you guys so much. Hit the thumbs up and make sure you're subscribed. It goes a long way in helping our channel grow, and it's growing a lot. Let's keep it growing, as we're going to be continuing to drop a ton of Kings content and NBA content. Morgan, I'm trying to figure out where to go. Can we go over kind of the fourth quarter and some of the moments? Look at my notes, by the way.
Yeah, no, this is like Malik Monk's game, just chaotic.
It was chaotic.
Sure, go to the fourth.
Miami leads by 17. The headline, Miami leads by 17. The Kings close the fourth quarter on a 24-7 run to force overtime. Unbelievable. I'm looking back. Ellis's back-to-back threes made it 95-86 with 6:50 to go. I'm like, okay. Then Lyles hits a 3 to make it 95-89. Kings next possession down, play amazing defense. Can we talk about how you felt when Tyler Hero hit that back-breaking 3 late shot clock? You remember he was like deep out, falling away.
It didn't surprise me.
It didn't surprise me, but it was just like, oh.
Yep.
It was 98-89 at that point.
And I think it was a good defensive possession,
it was great.
Too. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yep, yep.
It was not an easy shot at all.
No.
And he made it. DeMar misses a mid-range shot. Then you have Ellis, who rips it away from Hawkes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Dude, incredible. DeMar gets the line with 4:27 to go. It's 98-91. Then you had a play where Keon has great help on Bam late shot clock. It's 195 with like 3:03 to go. Hero misses a three, Kings ball. Keegan hits a jumper, cuts it to three.
Love that jumper too. Even that was just needed. It was confident, showing you can do a little more. Go.
Then Monk has an awful turnover.
Which one was that?
It was after Keegan scored. Kings get a stop. Monk, tough pass, turned over. Miami scores. It's 102-97.
Okay.
How the Kings answer? Keegan corner three ball.
Oh, yeah.
102-100. And then subplot that I don't think we highlighted enough. Then Miami has an 8-second violation after that.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, and it was crazy because Keegan's like pointing out like, yo, he's not over. He's not over. And the whole Kings bench is just jumping. Had to help the officials out a little bit there and let them know like 8 seconds. Let's blow that whistle. Let's give this a call.
Oh, my God. Yep. So it's a 102-100 with a 1:10 to go in the fourth quarter. DeMar misses a turnaround. Miami comes down. Hawkes misses a three. The rebounds there. Highsmith fouls Sabonis on the rebound. Loose ball foul. Sends Sabonis to the line with 51 seconds to go. Sabonis makes both of them. Holy shit. Then the end of the fourth quarter, you have Hero missing a tough shot. Good defense by Malik Monk.
Uh-huh.
That was fantastic defense. Kings got the ball. This is where my notes, you could tell I was irritated with DeMar at the time. I put, DeMar dribbles the fuck out of the ball. I just felt like it was just so stagnant. I just wanted a little moment.
Exactly,
you know what I'm saying?
What you're saying. Yeah, I definitely screamed that.
But
yes.
Looking back at it now, I'm like, you kind of live with it because look at what DeMar did in the double overtime.
For sure,
overtime.
But you didn't know that was going to happen. So, yeah. Yes.
Then there's a loose ball foul off the miss. By Keegan with 13.1. Miami has the ball. Hero misses the shot. Keon gets a rebound. I went back and watched this. He got the rebound. There's 1.4 left. He's got his hand on the ball before he like tosses it out. 1.4. He's got the hand on the ball. Doug Christie's on the sideline saying timeout.
Yep.
Mark Davis goes, we're going to overtime. I'm like,
wait. Without even like giving it life, but earlier in the game when Eric Spoelstra wanted to call for a challenge after the Kings already inbounded the ball, you know, Mark Davis said, sure, Eric, why not? Let's give that to you. That was such bullshit.
My goodness.
Whatever.
So we end up going to overtime. Miami goes back into the zone. Oh my God. Miami zone got Sacramento so rattled in that third quarter when Miami was able to take control behind a 31-18.
They were not attacking the gaps. They just kept passing around the horn. And I'm like, and it's not like Miami is so long where you just can't get by. Well, my point is like the Kings were able to get by. So it's like, what took so long to be able to just like figure that out and realize you got to get a paint touch. You got to create something else. You got to make sure the defense is also collapsing a little bit and not just moving side to side.
They do a good job of disguising it too, right?
For
sure.
With
that zone. Yes. It's not just like a 2-3 zone, right? It's that man zone where like, it's like, wait, is this a zone or is this man a man? But you want to figure out Miami in the last couple of years has run like more zone than anybody to get teams a little rattled, right? To throw different looks. But it was working so well for Miami, the Spoelstra just stuck to it.
Yeah.
He's just like, third quarter, he's like, we're just going to run it every time because all the Kings are doing is passing it around. Or when they would attack the gaps in the third quarter with Lyles, like at the free throw line,
yes,
they would get him the ball with like 6 seconds on the shot clock. Mm-hmm. The defense would collapse, and then the Kings are forced to take a tough shot, late shot clock. The good news is the Kings did handle the zone much better later.
Yes, and again, that was just them moving the ball around quicker, better, making sure that they were trying to be in the open gaps against that zone defense and making a pass there, making an easy pass there, just simplifying everything a little bit more.
So we end up heading to overtime, and the Kings end up getting down by 4 in the overtime session. It was 110-106 with 1:45 to go. Monk has an air ball.
Yeah.
With a minute 38 to go. And you're just like, oh, man. Well, good fight. Man, this is tough.
Yeah.
Then Jaquez misses a three. Monk comes down, makes a layup to cut it to two. Then, oh, no, it was an and one.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Monk missed the and one opportunity free throw. Then Jaquez misses a layup because Sabonis was there, got credited for a block on that play. Sabonis comes down, hits a wide open three to give the Kings the lead.
And when he hit that three, even the offense, once again, it was the ball was moving around. He was in the right place. And when it went to him, he didn't hesitate. He was just like, yeah,
there was a brief moment.
This can be my shot.
He was like, you know what? They're giving me the space. Let me take it. Dude.
Very brief.
That was such a clutch shot by Sabonis with 41.3 to go. Then you have a sequence where Rozier misses a three, offensive rebound. Then Rozier misses a jumper, offensive rebound. Rozier misses another one.
Okay.
And he's fouled. He goes to the line. It's 112-111 with 18.7 to go. Man, that was crazy.
Hold on.
I just want to make sure I was looking at the right one. Yeah, it's 112. Okay. Then there's a timeout. Okay. Then Malik Monk. I didn't like this play. They go a little pick and roll. Malik Monk drives on Highsmith, who I think does a great job. Oh. He's long. He tried to pump fake, gets up, tries
no,
to.
No, this was it. Monk
you think he had him?
Had him
he had
initially.
Him. He had him.
He had a nice little open floater. He had a nice little, you know, fadeaway off the glass. He had something open. I think he was so open when he was curling around. He was coming from the right side, going to the left. And he was so open that he jump stopped. And that's when he caught up with him. And then he's like, shit, I got to pump fake out of this. It got blocked.
So then Keon Ellis fouls Jaquez. Jaquez goes to the line, misses the first. Misses the second. He misses both free throws with 3.4. We got a timeout. And that's when Keon got fouled. And you're like, all right, Keon, go on, make both. Misses the first one. You're like, shit. I could barely look. I don't even remember if I looked at him shooting the second one. I think I had my hands in my face going, I'll just let the crowd react. Just let it react.
That's
makes
always
it
me.
112-112, and we had to double overtime. Dude, what was going through your mind when Jaquez missed both free throws?
I don't even think. I think I was just like confused. I didn't understand how, which is so messed up because obviously he is such a good player in so many different ways, does so many different little things on the floor, makes an impact for this team, especially with all the drama that they're going through. But for him to miss both those free throws,
my God,
it was a little shocking to me.
And he was really good tonight.
I know.
He was awesome. Oh, my God. I didn't even realize either. I knew he had a double. He had a triple-double tonight.
Oh, shit. 16 really?
16 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists for Jaime Jaquez.
See, his stat line always is like, it's there. You see him out there. He's always making the hustle plays. He's always getting to the free throw line. He's doing things. So,
yeah.
So for him to miss those free throws after such a great game for him as well. Yeah.
And he's had a tough year, too. So he got the start tonight and probably really good for his confidence to have a game like this in Sacramento.
Except because he missed those free throws.
Oh, yeah. He had a good, very good rookie year. So then we go to double overtime in Sacramento. Monk hits the first bucket. Then DeRozan hits a three. It's 117-112 with 340 to go. I'm like, oh, shit. All right, cool. Got the win.
Why would you ever
good.
Even like, feel that way?
Well, I don't know. I just felt like
I
the
would
vibe.
It's the Kings. Never feel that way.
Highsmith then hits a tough three.
Yes.
God, you're just like, are you kidding me? Keon turns it over. Bam scores. And then we're tied. But Morgan, DeMar, effing DeRozan.
Yeah, there
we go. Hits a jumper. Puts the Kings up two. Bam gets fouled. Goes to the line. Makes one of two. Then DeRozan hits a three. Oh, wait. His foot is on the line.
His toe.
121-118. Bam misses. Monk misses. But a Sabonis offensive rebound. And then Debo hits a tough tough-ass jumper late. I don't even know what you do if you're Miami when he hits that jumper.
Oh, there's nothing you can do.
Dude.
When he was just in his bag. He was feeling it. He was smooth. Oh, and I was just so glad that he was in that mode at that point. Because it's we've seen it before too, where it can get clunky end of the fourth and you just can get frustrated with certain things. But at the same time, when he's doing that too, you're just like, that's why you need him. That's why.
Morgan, through three quarters tonight, DeMar had 10 points. He finished with 30. I mean,
didn't he have 9 in the second overtime or something?
He had 9 in the second overtime. Jeez. Yeah. He had nine in the fourth quarter. And then 9 in the second OT.
Made them when they mattered
insane,
most.
Insane. Yeah, he's like one of those guys that like
thrives off that,
you know,
pressure.
You have to say sometimes you have to live with like Malik Monk's like craziness sometimes. Yeah.
Which we haven't seen this in a while, by the way, from Malik with some of his craziness tonight.
For sure. Miami did a great job putting bigger defenders on him. Yes. They put Highsmith on him, and then they also put Jovic on him.
Yeah.
They just add length. Like, Miami played a really good defensive game tonight.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Sacramento won this game despite the fact that they shot 41%. They were 34% from three, 20 of 26 at the free throw line. I mean, this was just a grinded out crazy game. But going back to Debo for a second, my point being is like, Debo is just a tough shot maker. And sometimes you get frustrated. You're like, that's not a good shot. But then some of the ones he makes, especially in that double OT, you're like, this is what he's done in his career. Like, do you just have to kind of live with this? Like, where sometimes you're like, why is he taking that tough shot? Because this is what he does. Well, this is how he's made a living, however many years he's been in the NBA.
And when he's in that mode, it's just like anyone. When someone's in that mode, get them the ball. Get them the ball. Like, they're feeling, they're seeing something different. I don't care if it's Malik. I don't care if it's Sabonis. I don't care if it's Debo. I don't care if it's Keon. Who cares? Just make sure you're getting them the ball. And that's why with DeMar DeRozan, he found his rhythm. He found whatever it is that he needed to do. They got him the ball. And he executed.
And Sacramento struggled so much winning close games, wins another close game, right? Down the stretch, crunch time, they find a way to get it done. DeMar DeRozan finished with 30 points. He had 4 assists, 3 rebounds on 12 of 26 shooting, 5 of 5 at the free throw line. Morgan, you were talking about Malik Monk. He still plays just under 49 minutes in this game. Still was able to finish with 23 points. It was just one of those nights for him. 8 of 25 shooting, 1 of 9 from 3.
Yep.
He had 6 assists in this game along with 5 rebounds. He had some looks early on that I'm like, dude, those were great. Look, you're just missing tonight. You're just missing. And when you can overcome that and Fox not playing.
When you can overcome that, but also this is someone who has been shooting fantastic as of late, right? The last couple of games. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And
he's awesome
been efficient.
Yeah,
you know, like not only just taking shots, like he's making them. He's efficient out there making the right play. So tonight for him to have that type of game, still finish with 23 points in the win, and without De'Aaron Fox, you'll take it, you know. And there were some moments out there when they needed him most, like when he got that and one layup there toward the end of the game. Still some big moments from him and from everyone else. We know that he can have that chaotic energy at times, and for the most part, he's been able to channel it the right way, and tonight was just a little bit more chaotic than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, but I don't think he was. It was Miami's defense made it problematic.
And that's
for him.
And that is so fair.
He kept attacking. He kept trying to do the right. It was just harder tonight.
Yep.
And that's where you have to just fight through it. And for him to keep being in that mode and keep fighting through the shooting struggles. I love that shit. I love a game where Sacramento finds a way to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, they had to. Miami wants to make it ugly. And what Miami did tonight from the start, they were picking up full court. They were collapsing on Sabonis right in the paint. They were throwing out the zone. I thought even before they threw out the zone, they were just on a string defensively. We just witnessed what Oklahoma City did to Boston the other night when they held Boston to 27 points in the second half. And I'm watching how Miami's moving. I'm like, God damn, is this a repeat again? Like, Sacramento's not getting any good looks. Like, they are literally fighting and scrapping to get a shot off.
And that was the difference, too, of this Kings team that we got to see even tonight. This version of this Kings team was the fight wasn't just like, the mental fatigue or anything. It's not they're fighting through that. They were fighting through physically. Yep. They were fighting through a big Miami Heat team that was just giving it to them. And they were fighting through a second night of a back-to-back and almost playing 50 minutes for so many of the starters on this roster. So, yeah, there was a lot to fight through, and to grind it out and get this win speaks volume to where they're at.
I didn't make a prediction ahead of time, but I swear to you, I was going to say that Keon Ellis had like 12 deflections tonight. Let's just say I was wrong. But after the game, this is the defensive player of the game crown being awarded by Luke Laux.
Great job, y'all. What you got, Luke?
Keegan, you did a hell of a job on Hero down the stretch. You guys did a hell of a job with your blitz, all right? This is not a joke. Quick shout out for Keon. You had 14 deflections tonight.
God damn.
I don't know where this is going. Bam was 6 for 19, 3 blocks, multiple deflections. Domas!
Wow. See, I told you Domas, dude, defended his ass off tonight. Yep. So here, timeout. Okay. Timeout. We need to stop right now. Keon Ellis tonight. The Kings are to the point now. They can't give him the crown every night. He should just wear a permanent defensive player of the game crown. He should play with one.
He should get a tattoo of it.
Keon Ellis had 14 deflections tonight. The league leader last year, I think Fox was near the top with Caruso, and they have 3.8 a game. Keon Ellis, 14 deflections tonight. They competed their asses off. Keon Ellis is a defensive menace. 14 deflections.
It's insane.
We talked about Keegan and then Sabonis, what he did against Bam tonight.
Yeah.
Big time shit. And then Luke was mentioning the blitz. Dude, they were throwing that blitz at Hero. They were throwing different looks at Miami. That's why they were able to win this game tonight, because they bought into the defensive game plan and fought through the missed
shots. But they executed on so many of the things that they were doing.
Yep.
With the blitz, with the hedge, with just stunting the ball, with recovering, with being in the right place and being able to still contest a shot and help. I mean, everything that we saw defensive, we should do a defensive breakdown video tomorrow.
Yeah.
And because I want to go back and see so much of just what went right for them. But I truly believe it was them being locked in. And you're exactly right. They didn't allow their offense to dictate what they were going to do on the defensive end on a second night of back-to-back without De'Aaron Fox. It's impressive. It's impressive.
I'm in shock by Keon Ellis's 14 deflections. Speaking of Keon Ellis, here's what he had to say after the Kings win tonight.
I'm good. I was more tired in the first half, honestly. But after that, I was good after that. That's when I was really feeling it, but good now.
Been getting a lot of run under Doug. Just, you know, how much has it felt different to you since the change and you getting a lot of run out there?
It's been real different. I know there's times where I know for sure tonight, Doug probably looked at me and thought I was tired, which I kind of was, but like I knew I needed to stay out there, so I told him don't worry about it. I'll be all right. Like, I'll just try to get my energy through like the day of balls, free throws, or whatever. But it's definitely been different in that aspect. You know, he's given me a little bit of more rope, and I think when I had that turnover, like those are crucial. But I mean, you know, he's just like, you know, don't worry about it. You know, you'll get it back. You know, just go get it on the other end. So things like that just kind of eases your mind a little bit. So I think those are more so the biggest differences. And, you know, he's out there telling me, you know, if I pass up a shot or whatever, he's like, keep shooting. Like, you know, tell Domas to go get the rebound or something. So those are some of the differences with him out there.
It feels like one of those, like you mentioned, that like longer leash you might have under Doug. How much do you feel like, you know, you can still, because like Mike's thing seemed like holding accountable and wanting to, you know, learning lessons, but how much do you feel like you can still have those learning moments and where to pick up and clean up while playing through it?
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, we're all pros, so I think we know, like, when you mess up, you know what you did wrong and what you actually should have did. So whenever I do something wrong, I immediately know, like, what could have been done or should have been done. So I'm learning, like, right there in the moment. But, I mean, I know, like, there's times where you could make a mistake and it's, you know, it's crucial. So you kind of want to put more experienced guys in in for you. But I mean, kind of like I said, just the faith that he has in me to play through it and, you know, correct myself is huge.
There's Brendan Nunes doing a great job talking great to Keon job. Ellis after the game. And Morgan, it's something we had talked about earlier about like a turnover, just play through it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's what Doug said, but that's what I assume. He just, you're listening to what Keon says and what that does for him mentally.
I'm so happy for Keon Ellis. I'm so happy for him, how he's speaking, how he's getting these opportunities, how he's executing within these opportunities. And, you know, it's what sucks about all of this happening is that a lot of the conversation does begin to be, okay, was Mike Brown that bad? Like, how short were people's leashes? And it sucks because I know that I really enjoyed his coaching from the outside, right? I'm not being coached by him. I loved his basketball mind, his a lot of his philosophies. I didn't like them all. I didn't like his rotations. I didn't like when we were possibly seeing these short leashes. But at the same time, I understood them because everyone has their own coaching styles. And I was like, well, that can't be the reason why they're missing all their shots. They're turning the ball over and blah, blah, blah. But what you're seeing right now is that they're playing under Doug Christie with all this joy. The ball is flowing. The energy is flowing. Could this be just the spark of energy right now? Sure. But either way, it's a big enough sample size in a time when you were in your darkest time of basketball, losing a head coach in December and everything, and you're turning around like this with the tweak of a coach. Like, Deuce, we already talked about this during all of the Mike Brown saga, the firing. We're like, this doesn't happen in the NBA world. You mentioned two interim coaches taking over and it leading to success in all the years of the NBA.
Well, and there's probably a third with Nate McMillan, but okay, you know, with the Hawks, but Nate also is no longer with the Hawks. Right.
Right? So, and then you had that stat for me about Doug being the only interim coach ever to win his first 4-5 games.
No, that wasn't the stat.
Oh wait, it was going 4-1. Can you say it, please? I can't do stats. Deuce hates when I throw these random.
Yeah, stats. I mean, I think the stat was Jason Ross had put out.
Oh, that, yay, J. Ross.
There's the total coaches who have started 5-1 as Kings head coach.
Oh, there we go.
Is one. It's Doug Christie, who's that's 5-1.
That's what it was.
Interim
coach. Yeah. Thank you for getting that.
You were good. It was such a strong point you were making.
I know.
You went there.
And then I went there. Yeah, but yeah, I really don't give a shit because you still get my point, even with you having to finish off with that stat or with that fact, whatever. But either way, I look at this situation and you got to look at all angles and you got to be happy for someone like Keon Ellis, who is getting the love that he deserves from his coach, his team, and the fans.
I don't know, man. I think we complicate things sometimes, right? And that's where I go back to the belief. And when you're maybe going through some tough times in life or whatever, you know, I'm not trying to make it like life or death with basketball, but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
If you're going through a struggle in life or like if your boss comes over and just gives you, hey man, keep up the great work, what that feels like to you inside, or if you're going through tough times, you got a friend's like, dude, you got this shit. Just having that type of support and love can lift people up. And for Keon, in a situation where it's like, if he made a mistake before, he's on the bench. Now it's like, no, you got this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in my opinion, when Keon is out there, Keon is trying to do the right thing. Keon's mistakes to me are not ones where you're like, dude, you don't care out there. It's like, no, I messed up. And what Keon just said there is dead on. I'm the same way when it comes to like broadcasting. When I fuck something up on TV, I 100% know it. If I mess something up on the podcast, I 100% know I messed it
up.
And it bugs the shit out of me. What?
Like my stat that I tried to say.
But dude, we play on. I forgot about it.
Did you?
We're playing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. See, yeah. We're already playing on.
Yeah. No, I dwell. And I do that on broadcast too. And I just like, I feel and all those things. But when you have either someone next to you, a teammate that is like lifting you up after those things compared to someone who just doesn't give a shit about you, or a manager that says you do that again and you're fucked or whatever, it's like, yeah, it can make a big difference. And I saw someone else in the chat also say like, hey, like, you know, nobody needs to hate on Mike Brown to lead to this point. And I completely agree with that. And I think that's going to happen at times because people were so down and angry and depressed during that time. But you also have to remember, it's like, if none of this happened with Mike Brown leading the way with building a culture and identity with the Beam team and everything and getting to this point, then we might not even be here at all. And so for Doug to now take that over and be like, okay, let's make these tweaks to what needs to happen to really recreate this identity with this roster, it's a positive thing.
And it's also fair to say that I think we all underestimated maybe how bad that was this year with Mike and handling things with the rotation and how players were feeling.
But he could have also, just to give Mike a little love too, though, he could have also been coaching under desperation.
Yeah, I get
like
it, but
hearing like, hey, you're going to get your ass fired if you don't do this, sure, this. So then he, my point is that can also make someone else change the way that they treat other people. It.
But it's a rigidness that he has had throughout his career.
100%.
And sometimes you have to take a step back and look in the mirror and go, okay, how do I evolve? Like Tom Thibodeau back in the day, he would play his guys heavy minutes. They'd practice a ton. And now he still plays his guys a lot of minutes. Yeah. They just don't practice like they used to.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's crazy to see how this is turning out right now. There's still a long way to go in the season, but I don't think you could have written a better start for Doug Christie's tenure as interim head coach.
Yep.
I mean, Adam was just asking, like, do you think Doug has a legit chance at this job? I mean, the way things are going right now, I mean, I don't see how you could say no. I mean, he's obviously has the belief of the players, and they're backing it up, not by just like, hey, they're competing. It's just they can't close it out. They're playing way harder. It's like, no, they're legitimately playing better basketball. I think tonight was a great obstacle for them to overcome against a really good defense and a desperate team in Miami, and they found a way to rally back and win.
Yeah.
And so not only are they playing better basketball, they seem more together. The players seem happier. And guys are thriving at the moment. Now, they have a tough 3-game road trip coming up starting Friday against Boston. You got Chicago and Milwaukee. But, like, let's see how they handle it, you know? Insane.
And insane. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while it's here because you're right. It could just end up being that little jolt, that little boost of positive energy. Or it could be really leading into something real and whatever it is right now, just live in the present and enjoy and celebrate, enjoy the good basketball that is being played. I think that's the coolest part right now is what we're all seeing. And when guys are playing with joy, you're going to watch with joy. There's going to be just joy flying around, shooting through the goddamn beam.
Yeah. I mean, if you
into the city,
Morgan, if you're going to work happy, you're going to be more productive.
Hell yeah.
And that's what's happening right now. Every guy you hear talk to me is just talking about, yeah, we're just playing with a lot of joy right now. We're having fun. And like, yeah, we're thriving. Like, you can't ignore that stuff.
I know.
You know, it if they were to be like, hey, we're playing with joy, but you know, they're 1-5 since the move. Like, yeah, that's cute that you guys like each other, but we don't really care. The fact that they're able to come together, have this fun, and win ball games right now, they're right back in the thick of things. This is the first 5-game win streak since November 2023. November 2023 was the last time they won. They ended up turning into a 6-game winning streak.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Well, it's not about to get any easier.
It's not at all. We got a lot more on the pod coming up. We should mention that let's see here. I want to make sure we don't miss super chats. We're getting a lot of super chats tonight. Oh my God,
you guys are so kind. Let's acknowledge that. Thank you.
Shout to Oleg donating $5. Appreciate you. How things can change in 2 weeks. Keep it going, Kings. Equavista donates $2 saying, I'm cleaning my room. Light the mother effing beam. Hell 209. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Good job cleaning your room.
Nice. Neptune donates $5. Kings win 5 in a row. My Mavs lose 5 in a row with another injury. I'm happy for you guys. Keep up the great work. Well-deserved wins. Wow. Thanks, Mavs fans.
Thanks.
Yeah, they're going through some stuff right now. Kyrie out. Luka out. They lost again. That's tough for them.
Just
at the
a
moment.
Lull. Just a lull.
Joshua Simpson says, watching Sabonis being the leader on the court, calling the team together to talk multiple times throughout was huge. The leader we finally need. Appreciate that. And thanks so much to Reno for becoming a member. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We still have player of the game to go to. We have some other stuff to go to, too. We do need to mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one.
We are one.
With Golden One. Pays to be a Golden One member, especially if you're a Kings fan, because Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You scan that QR code on the screen or go to goldenone.com. You can see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today.
Up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings store. Chance to win courtside tickets. Get your tickets upgraded, your seats upgraded.
I saw that tonight.
Really?
Yeah, some people got their seats upgraded because they were flashing that Golden One card around.
It's one of my favorite things. Yep. I don't know why. I love seeing people get rewarded. And I mean, you get rewarded just by being a Golden One Credit Union member.
Yes, go to goldenone.com. We are all one.
One.
With Golden One. Also presented today by our friends over at Rocket Money.
Hey, start of a new year, and so it's the perfect time to get organized and set goals. I have all of my goals, my budget, and everything in Excel sheets, and I just started going over to Rocket Money, and my God, why didn't I do this a long time ago? It's way more organized. It's so much easier.
Yeah, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon. That's rocketmoney.com/gameon. RocketMoney.com/GameOn. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure you're looking at your house right now and going, why am I so cold? It's probably your windows. It's probably your HVAC system. And guess what? Northwest Exteriors can help out with everything.
Yeah, you need to go to their showroom, play with the windows yourself, because they're a lot of fun. You can see them in person. Also, they don't subcontract out, all right? They're local. Get your windows installed, and all of a sudden, your value of your home goes up, you feel safer, and you save money on your energy bill. So check out Northwest Exteriors today. NorthwestExteriors.com, Morgan Reagan, because they are...
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
All right, thank you. We have something that's going to be really... really difficult.
What?
Who is our simply the best player of the game tonight? There's just so many candidates. Like, it's one of those games where you just go, do you just give it to the whole team?
No.
Just give it to the whole team and say, good job. You guys all fought. Second half back. Whole team, right?
Mr. 14 deflections. Because Sabonis got the crown tonight. So it's like, now you're just kind of thinking, look.
Yeah.
This guy was literally everywhere on the floor, and the stats show it that he was everywhere on the floor.
I put the poll question up asking before the show. I said, who was your player of the game? The options, Keon Ellis.
Okay.
DeMar DeRozan, 9 points in double overtime.
Hell yeah.
Domantas Sabonis, by the way, triple-double tonight and played great defense on Bam Adebayo. Contesting his shots, dealing with the physicality of Bam poses. 64% of the people say Keon Ellis, 31% say DeMar DeRozan, 5% say Domas Sabonis. It's fine if you don't think Domas is the player of the game tonight. Domas Sabonis had a hell of a game. Like, he showed up tonight and battled his ass off.
Yep.
I loved his game
tonight. Even with the mistakes that were made or any of the missed shots, it's like, no, you look at the whole picture with this one, especially with him.
Chris says, what about Kings fans? They forced that 8-second violation.
Ooh. Dude.
Well, let's go to Our guy Jebediah did the graphic tonight. Let's see. Is it good to go tonight, Jeb?
Jeb?
Okay. He says it is.
Okay.
Player of the game tonight.
Oh, my God. This
Keon Ellis. 17 points. 8 rebounds. 3 assists. 3 steals. And just updated, 14 deflections.
Insane.
14 deflections in 48 minutes of action.
I mean, he got his hand on the ball so many different possessions.
He is our Simply the Best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Simply the Best. Trust Northwest.
I love that you chose that photo.
Doug embracing him?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was enjoying seeing Doug all amped up on the sideline. Like he was making the snarls.
Well, DeMar said it after the game too. He was like, he still acts like he's a player. Like he still acts like he's playing basically. And you see that energy from Doug. Just like when Domas gets a big play, he's like, yeah. It pumps me up. Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox missed this game tonight. Second game in a row he's missed. I imagine he'll be good to go for Friday. It's going to be interesting to see how they tinker. My suspicion now is that the Kings rotation is going to be 10 deep. I think you're going to see them play. Obviously, Fox is back. He's going to be starting. Keon's got to play. Trey's got to play. Devin's got to play. Yep. You'll sprinkle in some Herter and maybe some Len. I think you play 10 guys. Devin tonight, we even talked about Devin Carter because it's not like he played a ton of minutes.
4 rebounds in 9 minutes.
Yeah, he played just under 10 minutes, 4 rebounds, and literally jumped over Terry Rozier.
That was what?
I know Terry was slightly hunched over, like slightly like bent over, yeah. I guess. What would you call that? How would you describe that? Slouched over? I don't know. He wasn't standing up straight.
Bending? I don't know.
Rozier wasn't standing up straight. Nonetheless, Rozier literally had Devin Carter jump over him.
Mm-hmm. Like a hurdle.
It looked like he hit a trampoline and then launched over
him. Oh, like the dunk guys that come out at a timeout?
Yeah, I was thinking about Sin Cara back in the WWE back in the day, you know?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I wasn't thinking about Sin Cara because I don't even know who the fuck that is. And I was thinking about the dunk people that dunk over people during the game because that's what I know.
Devin Carter. So Morgan mentioned it. He had those 4 rebounds. He also had 3 assists and 5 points in under 10 minutes.
Yeah. Interesting, too, when you see the under 10 minutes, but it's understandable because of how Doug was going with everyone else and people were rolling. Things were working in a lot of these runs in this game against Miami and Doug had to continue with it. And I'm glad that he did, but I'm also glad that Devin showed up even in those 9 minutes, you know, and maybe that's something we see more and more that he keeps on getting, not so much of a longer leash. It's more just getting more and more of that opportunity in those minutes that he's out there.
He's still getting basketball shape too. Yeah. Like that's the other aspect of his game. Like you have to remember he was out a long time, so he's still finding ways to get out there and contribute. But really encouraged by what I've seen from him. And now, you know, it's some of the stuff that we talked about before he's coming back. It's like, all right, how do you fit him into this rotation when you have all these guys you got to play? I think the Kings will end up, you just knock down some guys' minutes. And it's probably a good thing, right? It's a good thing to knock down De'Aaron's minutes. De'Aaron's played near the top, I think, in the NBA in minutes played this year. Jeez. Like, can you get him on the floor, off the floor and give him some rest and allow, you know, Devin to get some extra run? Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's the way to go for sure.
I'm with you.
Can we hear a little Doug Christie, Morgan Reagan?
Let's hear some DC.
Doug Christie after the game.
Big time. These guys continue to fight in a way that I hope makes our city proud, makes me incredibly proud. In one of the timeouts, I told them, like, you know, win or lose right now, understand, like, what you're doing is bigger than any game. And I think that they believe it in a way that is hard in this league because wins are so hard. That is one heck of a team. Spo is about as good as it gets as a coach. And those guys, our guys down at 8:07, down 17, and they close 24-7. Like, that type of fight is incredible. I'm super, super proud of them.
Hey, Doug. Tyler Texera here with iHeartRadio. Everyone loves the energy you're bringing to this team. Have you been able to get any sleep since becoming head coach of this team?
Not much, Tyler. I mean, it's been a whirlwind, and it comes with the job. I understand that. I try to get some when I can, but it's a responsibility too. Is like these are my guys. I'm gonna fight for them, and if that means that and you get less sleep, then you get less sleep. And because they're obviously, you can see they're willing to do whatever I'm asking them to do. So I got their back on the other side. Mm.
Doug, we could probably go down the list of just the different big winning plays that a bunch of guys made tonight. Keon Ellis seemed to make a couple handfuls of them. Just what have you seen from him and how he's embraced that responsibility, especially in these last two games with Fox being out?
Keon is a special player. He has a lot of things that you don't teach. It's timing. It's being slithery through screens. It's the timely shots. It's the willingness to do what I'm asking him to do, which I know is exhausting. And when he's 5 feet away from me squatting down and I'm talking to him and he doesn't respond, I know that he's emptied the tank. And that is what everything is all about. So hats off to him. He's big time.
Coach, speaking of hats, is that hat undefeated when you wear it?
Is it? It might be. I haven't shaved and different stuff, but I'm just a hat guy. You know, I enjoy all my hats, so that's really it. It's not anything special. So yeah.
When you think about these two wins and the fight that you showed tonight, especially after digging yourself out of the hole again, do you feel like these are kind of two banner moments for your team this far in the season?
Yeah. You know, going to Golden State and asking them to do something a little different and be aggressive, and the aggressive nature that was asked of them, and then for them to do it. And then today, I wrote the word more up there to, like, we have more to give. You have more to accomplish. You individually have more in the tank. And that is what we're here to do. And I'll be damned if they went past more. They went to most, because two OTs and being down and, like I said, fighting not just against a team. That's a team, and that is one hell of a coach. So they battled, and to my guys, like, much respect. I love them for that.
Doug, don't worry. I'm not going to ask you about what you're going to do to prepare for Boston again. But
all good.
Just having the 3 days off in between now and that, especially after a double overtime game, what does that mean, and how does that? What type of advantage is that for your preparation?
You know, first of all, Boston is they're the champs, and it doesn't get any better when you watch their execution, how they go about their business. So, yeah, it's going to be sleepless nights trying to figure out something for them. But right now we are in the testing phase of our identity, and trying to establish an identity in this league is difficult because the league is so great. But at the same time, there's no better place than to walk into the garden and try to figure it out. Whatever happens, happens. That's not the point. The point is, what do we learn from our experiences when we go there? And then having the ability to take those experiences, learn from them, and then apply them going forward.
Yeah. There's Doug Christie after the Kings win tonight.
I like him talking about the identity.
He had a quote pregame that I think you would love.
Yeah.
I would rather teach you how to play than run a play.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
we
just
always talk about how he's still a student of the game.
Yeah.
Like, he's always down. He loves learning more and more about the game, learning from others and what he doesn't know. And to be able to give that same type of knowledge to other players, I'm sure, is so rewarding, especially when you're not just running through and the X's and O's. Because, yeah, if you can teach someone how to play at a high level, but again, when you're also teaching players like Keon, who have the instinct, who have the feel, who can do so many special things out there. It just makes your job so much more fun.
And thinking about what Keon did last night too, let's not lose sight of the fact that he had to literally chase around Steph last night. And what the Kings did against Steph with Devin and Keon, where they were just glued to him and fronting him the whole time, chasing him around everywhere and pretty much denying him. He's a great player. He could still make shit happen. Holding him to 6 points in the second half. He took 12 shots in the game. And then Keon comes out tonight and like has to play 48 minutes and gives you everything he can. I don't know, man. I'm feeling really good right now. It's like we just went over all these high points of the game, the fight that they showed, overcoming missed shots, playing tough, playing physical in front of their home crowd. And that's the other thing, Morgan, like they've been struggling so much at home for them to get some momentum at home. And the crowd was, again, crazy as shit tonight. It was so loud. I loved everything about it, and I just feel really good about where this team is at right now. They seem together. It doesn't mean everything's fixed. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't mean that they're not going to
lose a game soon.
It could happen, but I think mentally they're in a spot where they have the belief and they have the fight, and those two things in life are powerful. When you have those tools, you feel like you can do anything, and so we were here after the Pistons game, 13 and 18. Here we are at 18 and 19.
Hey.
Half game out of 10th and just one game out of the 8th spots. Holy shit. Where are you at emotionally with this team now?
Like I kind of said in the beginning, I'm still kind of stunned or speechless. because, you know, We try to always preach like, oh, don't get too high, don't get too low, like just in, but definitely celebrate with the good, but just try not to get too low. The lows that were coming, that were here, I think felt lower than usual because we got a taste of what can be so great in that Beam Team year. And even last year, just understanding, like obviously getting into that playing game, beating the Golden State Warriors was magical. And then feeling that hope and that belief like, okay, like they can get into the playoffs again, then they can't lose to the Pelicans 6 times in 1 year. And then they do. But my point to that being is like, then you're going in this year with these high expectations. So for it to all kind of fail at one point and for them to feel like that they actually have a chance of like turning it around, Still low expectations of what turning around actually can mean, but giving us a good product on the floor, an enjoyable basketball team to watch, I'm all here for it.
The last two without De'Aaron Fox too.
Yep.
The Kings, since Doug Christie has taken over, 5-1. During that span, they're 6th in offense, 8th in defense.
Wow. Wow. I'll never remember that stat, but for right now, I do.
What is it?
8th in offense. Was it 8th in defense?
Yeah.
And 6th in offense?
Good job, Morgan Reagan. I'm so proud of you.
I'm a visual person. Put the numbers in front of me. Golly. I can remember.
One thing I do want to note to the live crowd, too. We appreciate you. We just had our biggest audience. Can you, you guys got to hit the thumbs up button, hit the like button. It does help the algorithm, helps more people around the basketball world see us. Make sure you're subscribed too. It just helps our channel grow too. The other thing I like to encourage you guys to do is after we're done, we end the live stream, hop in the comment section, drop some comments. I'm always on there answering people and talking back and forth. Keep the engagement going. It just helps so much.
And thank you. And thank you for taking the time and putting in the energy into this. Being with us, being with each other, it's always really, really cool. But when we reach new little goals,
it's great.
Yeah, it's just exciting. So thanks.
Emiliano says, I see more Kings players cutting to the basket. Is Doug's simplified offense implementing a bit of Pete Carril's philosophy? Maybe I'm projecting, haha. No, there's no doubt. I mean, Doug wants these guys to pass, to cut, to make the extra pass. And he also understands, too, that like he's got a talented team that has a lot of scoring and a lot of versatile players that can do more than one thing. So it's about trusting them to go do it. They're going to have like their foundational things. Like
sure.
We want to get to the paint. We want to make sure to attack. We want to make the extra pass. But when they're out there, read the game and go do it. Go kill it. And they believe they have the players to do it. It's working right now, and that's what's great. Adam says, this is a game the Kings would have lost a month ago. Not only would they have lost, I'm not sure that it would have been close.
Double overtime.
Yeah, it probably, but they could have just folded and had a bad home loss.
And Keon wouldn't have been playing.
Where he'd be like, dude, like, can you believe it? No Jimmy Butler, and the Kings lost by 17 tonight if they folded in the second half. There's no doubt about that. Morgan, let's get the final thoughts.
Didn't I? Oh, no, you asked me what I was feeling right now. But a lot of that are my final thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to bug you.
I could come up with new emotions, but that's truly like my emotions of what I feel after tonight.
My final thoughts, echoing Morgan on this point, enjoy the moment. Okay.
Yes.
Stuff can change fast in this league, and this season has been the best example of it, where after that Pistons game, we're thinking it's over, blah, 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 this sucks, all this shit,
dark
right?
Times.
And it was like, this is over just like that. We had one good year, and then like last year was better, you know, 46 wins, but it's over just like that. To see that there is still hope right now is an exciting thing. And, you know, you can't get too far ahead. You go, next game is Friday. But like, when you wake up tomorrow or you go into bed tonight, or if you're listening to this later, just enjoy that the team's won 5-0. You don't have to start thinking, oh, but what about De'Aaron Fox? Oh, is Christy going to be here long term? How are they going to balance the roster? Dude, it's going to get sorted out at some point, right? It is. The reality is we'll know where this team is at closer to the deadline and see what happens. But right now, it's fun again. And that's the biggest thing is you can turn on a Kings game the last week and see a fun brand of basketball, a team that is having fun together, and they're finding ways to get it done, and it's not always the same way. That's the mark of a team that looks like they're getting their shit together. Let's enjoy this ride together.
Hell yeah.
If there's anything that we missed tonight, let us know in the comments below. Also, you can always email us, deuceandmo@gmail.com. We love you guys so, so, so much, but we gots to go.
You're all the best. Thank you so much for being here.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.